Want to know more about the music industry? Want to hear real, honest conversations with people who've made their living in the music business? Stay tuned, because you're going to love Dallas Music Network's brand new podcast series, The Deep Dive. In The Deep Dive, you'll get a raw look at entertainment's inner world from the people who know showbiz best. Your fearless leaders on this fantastic voyage are Grammy-winning producer and engineer Paul Pappy Middleton and seasoned producer and talent developer Mav Trax. Collectively, they've worked with the likes of Erykah Badu, Bonnie Raitt, Willie Nelson, Lyle Lovett, Bobby Sparks, and many, many more. Get ready, because it's about to get deep. And now, stay tuned for our first guest, Larry Spencer.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Pappy. Keep it as simple as I can be. Today, tonight, we're doing something that has been very dear to me all of my life. A dear friend of mine who just happened to be in the middle of what this vision and dream was for me, just happened to live up on the corner, and I've known him for a bunch of years. I just didn't know he was doing what I was looking for. And he is the leader and the maker of a band called the Rock Ridge Big Band. And to fulfill a vision that I had, I grew up with my dad loving music of the 1930s, and it was all the big band sound. So as I was 4 years old and 5 and 6 years old, this is what I was hearing, and this is what my dad loved. And so for me, as a recording engineer and a studio owner and a musician, singer-songwriter and all that kind of stuff, all my life, I have looked forward to being able to, well, it's the reason I built this studio this way, was to be able to do what we're doing right now. This is Mr. Larry Spencer of the Rock Ridge Big Band. Why did you put this band together? And you know, because I know what the name stands for. Let everybody else know.
Well, I've played in big bands my entire life, even going back as far as high school. They didn't have a big band. And back then, we called them stage bands, or that's what they were called. And I had heard about them. And after listening to Doc Severinsen on the TV, I just thought we ought to have a stage band in our high school. And so the band director agreed to start one. I had played with Buddy Rich and Woody Herman big bands. I was in the 1 o'clock band, played in big bands behind people like Frank Sinatra, Mel Torme, Tony Bennett, many other big names. Really fortunate to have played professionally with these folks. And so I've played in big bands my whole life and have almost always played in bands that now are typically called rehearsal bands, which means you go play in a nightclub or a bar. You don't get paid hardly any money, but you get to play the music you want to play and everybody gets together for fun. All that to say is I was always in the trumpet section. And earlier this year, I was playing in a rehearsal band, and the leader got really sick, and he wasn't going to be able to lead the band anymore. And so those of us that were experienced decided to get together and keep the band going, and I was tasked with being the music director. And so I got out in front of the band and ran the rehearsals, and then led the band at the shows. And I guess at this point in my career, I realized I kind of liked really being out front and being able to choose the music and hear all my fantastic friends play. And I really got more joy out of standing out in front than I thought I would. So when the band leader recovered from his surgeries, he wanted to take the leadership of his band back. And I thought, well, maybe it's time for me to lead my own band because I'm actually having fun doing this. A bit of a sense of humor and a bit of trivia. There's a scene in Mel Brooks' movie, Blazing Saddles, early on where out in the middle of the desert, they come across Count Basie and his big band playing. And then lo and behold, the entire town of Rock Ridge is the basis of the movie. And so I decided to name it the Rock Ridge Big Band.
This all kind of started again for me, a very dear friend of ours out here that was a neighbor and a great player, sax player, had passed away. And they did a huge memorial for him down in Deep Ellum that me and so many of my friends showed up for. How many were there? It looked like there were 30 people in the band. I mean,
it was a 20-piece big band.
Yeah, you know, horns all the way across the stage and up on the stage, and the drummer and all the rest of the guys were up behind there. But I was just sat there in awe. And so I went back here to the studio and just started getting into my mind about all this stuff that it, you know, had haunted me since my early days. And so I called him and I went to one of their rehearsal gigs, and it was great. I was the audience, and it just blew me away. They were up there just having fun playing tunes and going through them. And the people were, you know, what was it, a Tuesday night? Tuesday night, like 7 o'clock. So the crowd had, you know, was just starting, the people were just starting to come in. And it was a place that was a restaurant type bar, so they would eat and drink and everything. But it was just so much fun for me to hear this and think about my past history. That I just couldn't help it, but just, you know, as soon as I, you know, the next day we started talking about all this and putting it together. And this all came together in like 48 hours. They had already had a certain time that they were planning on getting together again, and I had to try to build it around of getting this all together to doing it. And so it was like, I can't remember who said it was like herding cats to put together a 20-piece band. And I said, well, I can dig that because I had a 3-piece band and it was like herding a cat. Yeah. Come on. Let's go this way. One of the things when you get to be an aged person is looking back on all the stuff that you've done. And when you know somebody who has done these things like Larry has with playing in the bands that he's played, and he can fill you in because might as well have a scroll here just to keep scrolling through all the people he's played with. And like all of us musicians, engineers, and people in the music industry, as you work with any one of your heroes, that's the reason for me. That's one of the reasons I do what I do, because I'm a musician that went into engineering because I have as much fun engineering as I did playing, because it's still all a part of that magical moment. And that's the reason the studio was built that way. And that's why people like Larry are so valued in this industry, because they do it for the love of it. It's the feeling you get from doing this that makes us stay in it.
Over 12,000 gigs that I've done over the years, there's those magical moments that are etched in my memory. There's too many of them to actually go through all of them or even remember all of them. So a few of those that strike me in my memory is playing with the originator of the moonwalk, which was not Michael Jackson. It was Cab Calloway. And I got to play behind Cab Calloway a number of times, and it was just such a blast. He was so full of energy and just amazing. And of course, the trumpet parts had the names of the players in his band. And so I was playing first trumpet. The person's name, it didn't say first trumpet, it said Dizzy, which was Dizzy Gillespie. And so it was actually the original manuscript. That is such a great memory. Getting to do a tour with Frank Sinatra was like being, for me, like being a rock star. We were treated first class always, you know, world-class musicians, world-class accommodations. And of course, there's the chairman of the board himself up in front of the band. It was just fantastic. One little memory really, really sticks in. We were at an opera house, and of course, it's sold out, and it's a beautiful acoustics. It's a 35-piece orchestra with a big band and strings, you know, beautiful wooden floors, unbelievable acoustics. And every night on this tour, Frank would sing Willow Weep For Me. And he didn't drink anymore by this point, But there was always a fresh bottle, unopened, of Jack Daniels backstage, and they would pour two fingers and put it on the piano. And he didn't smoke anymore, but there was always a fresh pack of Marlboro Reds on the piano, on the Steinway grand piano. And the spotlight would come down, the whole stage is dark, and he'd take a sip out of the glass of Jack Daniels, and he'd take a puff of the unfiltered cigarette and start singing. And it's just like one of those magical moments. It was just beautiful. It was just fantastic. And then he'd just stamp out the cigarette on stage. And I guess the only person that could ever do that would be Frank Sinatra. Oh, my God. One of the other magical moments was playing at the American Airlines Center for Don Henley's 70th birthday. If you can imagine, with the Eagles and Stevie Nicks and his band, that was just a fantastic moment and really, really fun. There was one song, we had not rehearsed it, and on my part, it said, hold out. I end up on a high F sharp, and it said, hold out until drum cue. And everybody else stopped except me because the drummer didn't cue it. And so I held it, and I held it, and I held it, and I held it. Until the drummer threw his sticks up in the air and just said, okay. And I'm like going, I don't know. I'm just following my directions here. There wasn't really any rehearsal on this one. But the crowd went wild. They loved me. Well, but that's one of those nerves of steel. I'm holding on to it. You better cue me. You got to cue me. I'm reading my part.
What I can tell the viewing audience, there is a note on one of the songs that we've done that I still don't know how he did it, because it's a note that just is like somebody playing a synthesizer with a bending note. It went woo. And as I was mixing it the other night, I was just sitting there going, he plays a riff right on the end of this swelling note that the first time I started mixing on it, it was like I thought he took a breath there, but he didn't. He took the note all the way up and then finished the lick on it. And it's you'll hear it and you'll probably sit there going, how in the heck did he do that?
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's it.
He asked me, do you know what note that is? I said, it's a really good note.
That's it. Well, I was thinking the same way because I couldn't tell you what it was, but it was the lick.
That's why we call it jazz.
But all the note was right. When I was younger, when we called it jazz, it's because we blew the note. And we didn't hit the note. Well, that's why they call it jazz. But no, this is why they call it good jazz, because it's a wondrous note, and I'm so glad that he played it while we were recording this thing. As you'll see, the big band is, to me again, I was just in awe the whole time, and I was hustling my butt off to try to put all this thing together in there, and as you'll see in the video and stuff, it was just the whole day was magic. You know, there were so magical moments that were just always happening through it. And especially when you're looking out at 20 people out there playing this thing. That's how I ended up here. Second grade going to the symphony orchestra down here at Fair Park. I just couldn't believe what I heard. It was right after that American Bandstand came out. And like we were talking earlier about how the influences of your family and stuff can lead you on a path this way, or even the absence of influences of your family and close people around here give you an open door to find those things and find that path. I had musical influences in my family, but I also grew up at a time when American Bandstand came on. I was in the third grade, and I would go straight home from school carrying my trombone all the way, back and forth. And that's where I got my musical influence. And I never learned to read until later on. Well, I was learning to read one trombone, but that was all I ever did learn. listening to the music that made you feel good is what you just kept following. Was it your family, members of your family, or influences in school, or sometimes it's just a song? But what made you go the way you went?
Well, I'm not sure exactly why I picked the trumpet. I wanted to play in band, and my parents were not musicians, but there was always music in the house. They did have a record player, and we had Frank Sinatra records, and we had a couple of Doc Severinsen records, which I thought were really neat and didn't really know why. But when I got a chance to play in the band, I was basically given the cornet. I didn't really choose it as much as they said, here, we think you ought to play this. And apparently they were right, because I immediately took it all apart and just fell in love with everything about it. And my dad said that he knew I was getting pretty good when our Great Dane stopped trying to crawl under the bed when I practiced. And I practiced all the time. I just was drawn to it. And then, of course, I tried to sound like Doc Severinsen and never succeeded, and I'm still trying. And passion for music just kind of lit inside of me. And I don't know if it maybe skipped a generation, because my grandmother on my mother's side was a coloratura soprano in the St. Louis Opera Company. My parents always supported me. Generally, about 10 p.m. was cutoff point for practicing. But other than that, they always supported everything I did musically. Even when I was in seventh grade, I realized in music, I would never learn everything there was to know about music. So I knew that I could just spend the rest of my life doing this, playing the trumpet and learning about music. I have arranged and composed, as well as played the trumpet. As time goes on now, I'm going to arrange and write some for the big band, as well as some more compositions for the small group that I've been working on, a small combo. I was right, even in seventh grade, there's always more to learn.
I guess what I'd like to know, because now that I'm a big fan, now that I have a big band out there that I can really relate to, which is, again, just fits into here. I think about my dad every time I was listening to these guys playing out here. I'm thinking about my dad. My dad would be just sitting there doing. He'd be tapping it out and just grooving along with it. So my future thing is, where can we find you guys playing, and what's y'all's future? We've talked about this whole process that we're doing right now is leaning towards an album project. In my mind, we just started it. I hope to see it completed.
Because we've got a good beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly where it's going to go. We do play once a month. We've got a regular home at Z Grill in Flower Mound. And I guess we're going to start playing the second Wednesdays of the month, every month. With more promotion, hopefully we'll be able to spread ourselves out a little bit more. It is certainly a very talented band. And I'm hoping to also use it as a workshop for composers and arrangers.
If you love music, this is a form of music that you just don't hear very often. And these guys and gals do it as good as I've ever heard it.
We're right at the beginning of all of this. So look for us with Larry Spencer and Rock Ridge Big Band.
And all that media is on its way, and it's coming. And like I say, this has been a blessing for me. And it's a dear lady artist that I worked with for many, many years has kind of kept up with me and calls me up about my bucket list. In this lady's mind, you only get a bucket list of 10 things. This was one of the big ones. And I feel just wonderful about being a part of it, like everything. And as Larry has expressed, the love of doing this is its own fulfillment. I did an interview with Tim and everybody the first time I went to hear one of the live streams of Dallas Music Network. And all I could do was look at all these good people getting together through a foundation to help people find that part of their dream. You know, these were young people, and then I was seeing older people like me. It never stops. And that's the good side, the wonderment of all this thing in music, is if you find your place in it, it is the most blessed journey. I can't gripe about my life at all. I just can't. I just, every time I ever get down, this is what brings me back. I'm an old geezer, and I've had all the same thing that every one of us are going to experience as you get older with health problems and everything else. And as I've watched my parents, all the older people that I've watched leave this earth and leave this presence, their spirit inside was what made their life so much, so joyous. And that's what made it joy for their family and all around them. And I feel blessed, and I feel blessed to know people like Larry that have found the same thing. When he said a while ago, that he said, when I looked at the music and the trumpet, and I could see so much to learn, that this lifetime, there isn't enough of this lifetime to learn it all. And what a blessing to have that kind of a journey to go to. My daughter, when you said that, it just blew me away, because my daughter went into aerospace, and the reason she went into aerospace, she wanted something that she would be thinking the rest of her life, yearning to find out more. And that was the goal. And I said, honey, I think you picked one that's going to go a long way. But that's the same thing, too. You know,
it is.
It's the greatest journey I could ever, you know, think about. And for me, it just happened. Broke an ankle going after a basketball scholarship and ended up in the coffee house that night. With no scholarship. But $3.25 for three songs, I ate the rest of the week. And here it is 57 years later. Blessings to all of you out there, and we love that you're here with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Dallas Music Network podcast. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. We're just getting started, and we don't want you to miss a single new episode. If you really like what you hear, please be sure to rate and review. Every rating helps us to climb higher in the podcast rankings, so new listeners just like you can discover the artists we're showcasing. Dallas Music Network isn't just a podcast, though. We also host live performances, interviews, and more on our website, dallasmusicnetwork.com. That's dallasmusicnetwork.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. Just scroll up and click the links to catch the cool behind-the-scenes content we're posting to our social media channels daily. All Dallas Music Network shows can also be viewed in your TV through the 2-Stage TV app, available for free on all major TV streaming services and in the Google Play and Apple App Stores for mobile devices. Dallas Music Network's shows, including this podcast, are brought to you in part by a generous gift from Timothy R. Wallace. We'll see you right back here really soon for more of the music you need to hear from the musicians you need to know.